Well, every week we always get a guest to join us here on the Trending 55 Hot Seat from the official opposition of the NDP, but it's a bit of a special guest today. It is the leader of Her Majesty's loyal opposition and the woman who is the premier of this province from 2015 to 2019. Rachel Notley joins us on the line right now. I guess, first of all, thanks for taking the time to join us here today.
No, it's good to be chatting with you. Thanks for inviting me.
All right, well, one of the topics I wanted to talk about today was the we've seen in recent weeks, especially up in our region, different hospitals have had closures of the emergency rooms and beds being available on a kind of a short supply here. And the NDP has been calling for a real-time bed tracker so that your people can kind of keep an eye on what's available in their communities. What exactly are you guys looking for here?
Well, basically, many people will know that it's actually possible already to get onto websites and check what the wait time is at ERs in certain parts of the province. And that's something, it was a real-time tracker that was put in place because, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago now, I guess, because people were so concerned about ER delays. And that also, as a result, really sort of put the spotlight on it. It helped people choose which ER to go to, but more than that, it also forced the decision makers to really lean into that issue and find a way to fix it. And so the same issue, I think, and the same outcomes could be secured by having a real-time bed tracker. It's also important because this government is expert at gaslighting Albertans in a way that I have never seen throughout my career. And so even as Albertans will be literally standing in front of an emergency room door with a sign on it saying close till scheduled reopening, the Tyler Shandro will tell Albertans that there's nothing wrong, everything's normal, nothing to see here. And so a bed tracker would actually hold the government accountable for the consequences of the decisions that they are making so that we could then put the pressure where necessary to improve the health care that Albertans receive, especially the health care that Albertans receive in rural parts of the province, because we know that that has been under increasing pressure over the last 2 years.
And do you think, especially when it comes to a lot of the hospitals, again, a lot of them are in rural communities, do you think that, how useful would this be if you're, say, in Fairview, for example, because their hospitals had, closures recently, obviously, if, they can't get in there, the next closest option is, okay, maybe Spirit River or Grimshaw or something, that's good, half hour, 45 minutes or so drive, there's some considerable distances you may have to cover up here in the, kind of the rural north.
Yep.
How useful would this kind of bed tracking stuff be for, particularly for people up here?
Well, I mean, I suppose at the end of the day, if you need to go to the hospital and there's no space for you in Fairview and you have to make the decision on whether you head east to Grimshaw or west to Spirit River, it would be helpful to know before you start driving which is the better option. But you're absolutely right. Neither should be the option. And that's why I say the other benefit of this process is that it holds them very publicly to account for the decisions that they are making. These bed closures are not, they're trying to argue that, it's always been this way in rural Alberta. Well, I know that rural Alberta has struggled, but not as much as is happening now. And they need to be held to account for that so that they can then make decisions to make it better. Frankly, part of the reason that the struggle is greater is because healthcare workers are exhausted from the pandemic. This government was the last to roll out extra incentives, financial incentives, to bring more people into the workplace out of the door. And they are now attacking these folks, threatening to fire tens of thousands of frontline healthcare providers, and at the same time rolling back the wages of those who remain. So that is counter to anything we're seeing in any other province, and so it's making the problem worse. And when you already have a vulnerability, as we do in Alberta, particularly in northern Alberta, you guys are like the canary in the coal mine. You're going to feel it the worst, and that's what we're seeing right now.
And I know I've talked to a number of people around the region recently. Of course, in addition to some of the stuff we've been talking about with hospitals as well, even just getting, just family doctors in a lot of these small communities up here has been a bit of a challenge as well. What kinds of things would you like to see happen there?
Well, I mean, I think that the government has to, I mean, honestly, I think the relationship between doctors and this provincial government has been broken by Tyler Shandro and his behavior with respect to doctors over the course of the last 18 months, you know, ripping up their contract, threatening them, demonizing them, you know, calling them at home, yelling at them on their driveway, you know, lying about the state of negotiations to the public, all those kinds of things. I think, frankly, what needs to happen is there needs to be a new health minister, and then they need to get back to the table with a higher level of respect. I'm not suggesting that doctors should get every single thing that they are asking for, but I do think that they should have a process that they can rely on that is fair, and that they, and the government doesn't rip up the rules halfway through the game or move the goalposts halfway through the game, which is essentially what continues to happen with this government. And so what's happening is doctors are leaving this province, and again, places that are struggle the hardest to find doctors are going to be the first to feel it. Obviously, then there needs to be a special rural recruitment strategy. That's always been the case. We've had them in the past, and we need to think about how to put those back in place going forward.
And we certainly mentioned, you know, over the last, you know, year and a half or so with the pandemic going on, that certainly made things extra stressful on certainly frontline workers.
Absolutely.
In the healthcare system. And you know, and then you and you know, over the last little while, obviously we've seen the stuff with the, you know, the wage issues, and you know, some doctors leaving the province, some of them going just to the west of us in BC here. You know, while they've talked a lot about supporting frontline healthcare workers, and meanwhile all this the issues that have been going on as well. Do you think that sent sort of kind of mixed messaging to people in Alberta over this?
Oh, well, I think the messaging has been, well, I think that's a very, very kind way of putting it. I think that they have been duplicitous and dishonest with the people of Alberta, and particularly with frontline healthcare providers. There is no other place in the country where the government is embarking on a major plan to fire significant portions of the workforce, privatize another group of the workforce, and roll back the wages of another part of the workforce in the middle of a pandemic. They are doing this on the basis of a report that is, you know, the McKinnon report that they rolled out early on in their term. The report itself is incredibly flawed. It should not provide the guidance for any kind of public policy decisions, quite honestly. It's not well written. It's not thoughtful. But either way, it preceded a pandemic. And now what's happened with the pandemic is there tremendous pressures on the healthcare system, and most importantly, on the people who work within it, and even more importantly than that, on the Albertans who've had their healthcare interrupted because of COVID. And so now is not the time to try and impose some ideological agenda. We're going to further destabilize healthcare, and Albertans will suffer. And Jason Kenney needs to be able to see beyond his own personal partisan objectives and think more broadly about whose interests he was elected to serve. And that is the people of this province who need to have a stable healthcare system.
Yeah, finally, whenever we have guests join us here on the Trending 55 Hots, we always like to go a little bit to the kind of the personal lives, as a way of showing, hey, these politicians are people too. Now, obviously, Rachel, we are in the middle of summertime right now, so when it comes to doing things out there, what's kind of your sort of go-to summer activities, if you will?
Well, you know, I still like to go out for a run most mornings. I was in Grand Prairie last week and had some nice runs in Muscogee Creek. That was lovely. So that's a big thing. Like to find a nice swimming hole wherever I can. Where, you know, we haven't been able to travel because of COVID, and so me and my friends and my family have found some nice swimming holes along the Saskatchewan River, or North Saskatchewan. So that's always lovely. And just getting out there and hanging out with friends in the sunshine. That's pretty much, I think, pretty low key, but pretty worthwhile.
And you definitely mentioned the walking trails. That's definitely something I like to do a little bit now. We got a really nice trail here at Peace River, especially good now that the weather's good. You know, it's not super hot out, and we finally got some of the smoke out of the way as well. So it's good on a number of fronts up here. Anyhow, NDP leader Rachel Notley, thanks for joining us on the Trending 55 Hot Seat today.
Great to talk to you. Take care, everyone. Have a good rest of your summer.